This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, this is Cruise Control, your weekly car show on BFM 89.9. And today you're probably wondering why you're listening to me first, Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my, because Mr. Richard Bradbury is unwell.
Oh, man.
And so we only have Mr. Arif Roos, the man with all the news, to share with us what's happening this week, and myself to share with you my little car review of the week. And before we go any further, I want to wish Richard the very best of health, quick recovery, because if he doesn't recover fast enough, we might end up taking over the show, Arif.
Oh man, you wouldn't like that.
Exactly. So, to start this week's show, the news from the man with the news.
This week, I think we're going to start off with a petrol price thing, because
it's still there.
Last week, we obviously said that petrol prices were going to go floating, but it is January 5th, and petrol prices, as far as we know, are still fixed. And this is because the government has put it under review again after a lot of backlash from petrol dealers' associations, and they're going to discuss it next week in their first meeting of the year, probably Monday, because they're going to consider interests of both buyers and the sellers. So it seems like the Petrol Dealers Association did get their word across, right?
I think they're politically very strong.
Yeah. Well, some say that the floating prices might actually begin next week after the cabinet discussion. So keep an eye out for that.
We'll wait and see.
Yep. The next thing is advertisements of vehicles. Now, they have to pass through JPJ.
So yeah, can you imagine all those funny-looking vehicles that used to run around for the last how many months? All these ride-sharing guys, they had funny things on top.
Even the Red Bull Minis, right? They're
exactly
driving around everywhere.
And they were allowed.
They were allowed with no permits.
The thing is, we all thought they had permits. Did we ever think they did not have permits?
No, this is really news to me.
Right. So when I got the news on this, it was actually a statement issued by Pushpa.com, not by JPJ. I was a bit shocked. Then I called my friend in Pushpa.com and said, you mean all this while these guys have been running around? Apparently, yes.
So technically, I could probably just stick up a banner of BFM previously and just drive around with it. And
exactly. But you need to have a convertible, because if you have it on your head, in your car, it'll probably not be seen. So you know, if you had a convertible, then it'll make sense.
Moving on, we've got quite a weird news that reported that only the Malaysian Reserve reported.
Yes, very strange.
Yep, they're talking about the end-of-life policy for cars. They're saying that it might be included in this year's National Automotive Policy. Yeah.
Now, I think this is a funny story.
Yeah? Why?
I'll tell you why. Because we've been hearing about this year in, year out, a few times. Every time the national car program starts to lose a little bit of momentum, they start an end-of-life policy. And the reason for the end-of-life policy, it works in countries where car prices are not escalated. Okay? Where car prices are, what do you call, market force driven.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, for example, you take like in England, it's market force driven. In the US, in Japan, you know, these are places where car prices don't have SKD, CKD, you know, after cars, national cars, nothing. So everybody's in a fair state. Now, when you do this, imagine now I would say easily a million motorists out there having cars more than 10, 15, maybe 18, 20 years old. We're not talking about classic cars.
Yeah.
We're just talking about, you know, Toyota Corolla.
From like 2000s.
Yeah, the first generation 2000. Saga, the first generation Vira.
Yeah.
And these cars are running well. And imagine the person driving it is in his 50s. He's on a pension or maybe a retirement policy. Can he afford a new car? I don't think so, because the cheapest new car is starting at 30 over 1,000.
I mean, they did something similar in 2006, and exactly the same thing happened.
Because, exactly.
I think Proton launched something in 2007 or 2008, something like where they told their existing customers of the old Proton Saga and Wira and gave them 5,000
exactly
cash
exactly
back.
You're right.
But the take-up, I think it was only in the thousands, not even the tens of thousands.
And then where did all these old cars go? They were just piled up. You know, they didn't have a policy on how to remove these cars. You see, for me, I think if you want to do this, first, find a third world country. I know it doesn't sound right, but find a third world country that's willing to accept these old cars, as long as they're in running condition, to be sold in their country as cheap mobility.
Yeah.
For example, say a neighboring country. Let's say maybe Bangladesh, okay?
Yeah.
Let's say Bangladesh, not neighboring, but Bangladesh. They need mobility. Say now I take all these old cars, which are in running condition. They must pass a certain level of transportation, you know? And they're able to go there for, say, 500 US ringgit.
Yeah, that would totally work. And I was just thinking of something, right? Because when the whole world moves forward with the electric cars, right, there'll be an abundance of electric cars.
Of petrol-driven cars like our cars.
Yeah, so if we don't keep up with that change, we could probably take all of their old fancy cars.
Exactly.
Which would be pretty cool.
It sounds good, but you see, you need to give mobility to a country that doesn't have it because public transport is not there. We're building the infrastructure. Even if you add in the cost of transportation, you can just send in a whole bunch of ro-ro ships and just move it all there. Don't think about profit. Just think about moving metal out of the country. Because why? If you keep all this metal in the country, what is going to happen? It's going to pile up somewhere. Yeah. Even if you smash it, even how small you smash it into a briefcase, you still got hundreds of thousands of metal briefcases sitting in a yard somewhere.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So without a policy to move the metal out, don't even start the policy to scrap old cars.
The insider who gave this story to the Malaysian Reserve, he said that the reason for this end-of-life policy, its possible reintroduction, could be because, you know, better safety standards, better cars for the people, growing the local industry, as you said, which would result in cheaper car prices in the future. And
correct.
I think the general consensus between both of us is that lower the car prices first and then think about
exactly,
it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because if I'm 60 years old, retired, even if I've got a generous pension, if my 25-year-old Toyota or my 25-year-old Nissan is running perfectly well. Which, you see, I have a 20-year-old Nissan at home. It's running perfectly well. Why would I want to scrap it? Aircon works, power window works, central locking works, power steering works, four wheels, disc brakes, everything works. Why would I want to scrap it for 5,000 ringgit when it's running perfectly well?
Yep, totally agree.
So this is something that's probably not going to happen, and you heard it first at BFM.
Anyway, moving on to a quite interesting story. Actually, Volkswagen wants to make a power bank for cars. So it's basically the size of a porta-potty, a portable toilet.
Right.
And it could weigh about over 2 tons. And they say that about 15 electric vehicles can be charged. It will charge the cars from 280% from zero in about 17 minutes, which is quite impressive. They say the biggest use for this would be extremely handy in public spaces and where permanent charging points don't exist yet. Perhaps in the future, maybe not malls, but events, festivals, big, huge parks where suddenly a lot of people will be going to. That would be pretty cool. I think it's a great idea.
I'm sure Volkswagen as a group, because they have so many brands and they're going big into the electric car future, I'm sure they've bought up some power bank company to do this, which is good. You know, you might as well just do it yourself in-house, put your branding on it. But I only have one question.
Yeah.
Can it also charge a phone? Because if I'm charging my car and if my phone needs a charge,
you could probably
have a couple of ports there ready for us to plug in our phones.
Just with a little USB port.
Yeah, but you know, like now you go to some malls, they've got these multi-ports where you can just charge your phone for a little while, you know?
Well, as far as the sketches go, it seems to be only plug in cars.
Well, if they listen to my idea right now and you heard it first on BFM, they could make a lot of money out of this.
Anyway, moving on to car launches and new cars. The big one, obviously, is the
big news for 2019.
Yep, the Perodua Arus.
Is it a baby to the Urus? Lamborghini Urus?
I mean,
it's Perodua Arus.
Why couldn't they revive Perodua Nautica?
Because the Nautica is coming back.
Oh.
You see, Nautica is going to be a 5-seater. This is a 7-seater.
Prices for the Perodua Arus is open for booking. It starts at about 72,000 ringgit to about 78,000 ringgit.
Which makes it the most expensive locally made Perodua to date.
Oh, that's true.
Because the Nautica was imported.
So Arus will be playing against the Honda BRV.
Well, for the first time, Perodua has gone into the non-national car segment pricing. Like you said, BRV, Toyota Sienta, you know, all the other players which have had, you know, a tough time trying to compete with the national car brands, now they're going into that market. Now, in your opinion, do you think Malaysians will fall head over heels with this car at this pricing?
Honestly, I don't think so. Well, I mean, they're boasting stuff like best fuel economy in class, 7 seats, and, you know, an attractive price. But I don't know. I think it will sell at hotcakes first, but towards the end, it'll just be kind of like any other car. It won't sell in that such huge figures anymore.
Okay. Sorry to say, I disagree with you. I think this will sell like hotcakes because, try and imagine, everybody who owned a Myvi who was not married or had just one child or two children, now they have maybe a maid or an in-law or maybe a third child coming. Perfect progression up.
That's true. But why wouldn't they go for the Elza?
Okay. The Alza, even though it's a seven-seater, it's really tight at the back. And the Alza is already now about 7-8 years old. This is a brand new vehicle. It's funky That's looking. True. It's got that whole Toyota heritage behind it. On top of that, it's sitting high up. And you know, they've got so many Myvi owners out there who are now thinking they might buy a Proton X70 base model.
Yeah, okay. So this is where I want to compare like the spec sheets, right? So I brought the spec sheet for both the Arrows.
Oh, clever man.
The high-spec Arrows Advance and the low-spec, the base-spec X70. So the Arrows Advance, you basically get Myvi, the 1.5-liter, okay. 4-speed auto. Okay. You get LED headlamps, a leather semi-bucket seat,
okay.
built-in smart tag reader, and a DVR as okay. well to record, you know, accidents or
anything
whatever.
That goes on, yes.
As well as some charging ports at the back. The X70, however, that's what, 22,000 ringgit more expensive.
Yes.
1.8-liter turbo, 6-speed automatic, halogen lamps, which is, you know, compared to an LED headlamps, isn't going to perform that great.
Okay.
But fabric seats, voice control, and more safety equipment than the Arrows. So okay. which one would you go for?
Okay, if I'm just going into the SUV market, if I walk into the Proton showroom, which I've done in the last couple of weeks just to observe people, a lot of people walk in looking at the base model at below 100,000. Because below 100,000, it's like when the Honda HR-V came out many years ago,
yeah.
it was 99,000 to 100,000,
yeah.
109,000. Everybody that walked in said, I'll just buy the 99,000 because why? I'm moving up from a car.
Mm-mm.
But when they saw what they call Christmas goodies sitting in the highest spec version, and they said, you know, if I do my loan over 7 years, I might as well just go for the high spec.
That's true.
So now, if you look at the ratio of buyers for the X70, I think more than 90% are going for the high spec. And the low spec seems to be dwindling like that. Now, if it's dwindling down there, I'm not saying it's bad, but you see, Proton was smart in, you know, Geely Proton was smart in doing the pricing so wide. You know, everybody will go and buy the $98,000 car. But when they go in and see all the extra goodies, plus you couple in with a 9-year loan with a 3% interest rate, and you say, hey, it's only a few hundred ringgit every month.
Yeah.
You know, I'll reduce my smoking. I'll stop going to Starbucks. I'll go to the Kopitiam. Things like that. And then suddenly you can afford this vehicle.
Yeah.
So now with the Arrows, I think that's the same thing that's going to happen. The low spec might not sell very well. But you see, it's not even hitting 80,000. It's at 78,000. Magically, it's at the price of a normal compact car, sedan.
That is very true.
So at $78,000, yes, I pay $20,000 more, I get the Proton.
Yeah.
But now I've got a 1.5 tried and tested proven engine from Toyota. I've got a simple gearbox which will never give way against a product from Geely, which is, okay, yes, it's mm-hmm. good. But this Geely product is not exactly a Volvo product.
And it's unproven.
Not, really? Well, you know, it's proven in China. And they've sold a lot of these cars and it's not a problem. But you see, a lot of Malaysians still think that this Proton X70 is a product of Volvo, which is not. The new Geely products will be a product of Volvo engineering, you know, collaboration. But this one is purely Geely. Not to say it's bad, but it's not yet Volvo standard. And now you got this Toyota Daihatsu Perdua SUV coming along.
Yeah.
At 20,000 cheaper. 20,000 over a 7-year loan for a person in that price bracket, that's quite a bit of money.
That's some buying advice for you guys.
Exactly.
If you're looking at both.
This is Cruise Control. You heard the news from Arif Roos, our man with the news, all the time with the news. And myself, DSF.my, Daniel Fernandez, just giving his 2 cents to all that Arif said. Next coming up is the car review on Cruise Control, and you know, for this week we have the BMW X2. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. We are back on Cruise Control, the only car show in the region. We have Arif Roos, who just gave you the news, all the latest news. And then you have myself, Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my, who's going to share with you our car review of the week, which comes from Munich. BMW X2.
Yes. I'm very curious about this car.
Okay, I was very curious because you know why? This car was launched 8 months ago. After 8 months, we got the keys to the car.
Wait, so I guess a lot of other media companies want to test drive it, I guess.
True, true. But you see, there's not much reviews on it online, Malaysian reviews.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought, okay, you know, at first, oh, I think BMW doesn't like me. But then I noticed nobody else was getting the car. And then I was thinking, okay, maybe BMW doesn't like the media. Then I was thinking, okay, maybe this car is just selling way too fast. The actual reason is because of this. Number one, the car was launched in April. Mm-hmm. It came in as a fully imported unit. Now, a little bit of history. The X2 is a brand new product from BMW. So you already have the X1 and the X3. So this sits somewhere in between. In terms of size, it's exactly the same as the X1, just a totally different shape, catering to the younger generation. And it's just a few centimeters thinner, smaller, fatter, wider. You know, it's just all a few centimeters. So it's hardly noticeable if you park it next to an X1. But if you see it by itself, sitting alone, it actually looks almost like an X3. But if you see it next to an X1, you say, hey, this car, not much difference. Eh? But never mind. So BMW launched this car. Price, because it's fully imported, 320,000 ringgit.
Just for context, the GLA sells for about, what, 70 grand cheaper?
Yes.
And the XC40 as well. So that's a big
leap. The XC40 sells for 70,000 cheaper. The GLA about 60,000 cheaper. And then the X1 is about 50,000 cheaper. So suddenly now people start looking at this car and saying, why? So again, why did BMW not push this car very hard? I think globally, this was a car designed for other markets. When they make a car, they don't make it for Malaysia. They make it for other markets. So in some markets, people wanted a car like this. But for BMW Malaysia, they said, okay, I'm thinking, let's bring in the car. Let's see what the consumer will see. Now, they brought in only less than 100 units. And the reason why there was no test drive is because immediately all sold out.
Whoa.
Now, at 320,000, you said, whoa. But there are enough rich people in this country who will buy a car like this as a fourth or fifth car to go to market, you know? Because this is not your flash car.
No.
And then I started meeting a couple of people who bought this car. And they were not super rich people. They were actually people looking to buy the X3 or the GLC or the Volvo XC60.
So what were they impressed by? I mean, I don't think they'll be impressed by the size.
Exactly. So all of them agreed that this car is smaller than the competition in the same price range.
Yeah.
But they bought this car because of its looks. And I think that's a thing that's getting Malaysians nowadays.
Yeah.
If they like something that looks unusual and funky enough, they're willing to pay the money. And it's not many of them, but there are people are there. Now, we took it out for a test drive. First, you know, when you look at the car and you look at the interior, you think, okay, this is just another X1. But the dashboard is completely different. The dashboard is actually curved.
Yeah.
It's actually a curved dashboard. The meter cluster is totally different. The meter cluster is actually taller and narrower, unlike the X1 meter cluster. There are a lot of little things that are slightly different. But of course, you know, the infotainment system, the gear shifter is new. It's got a lot of new little features. Space-wise, not that great because it's like the X1. And then at the back, it's a little bit tight in terms of window because, you know, the window is smaller, the rear is smaller.
I guess it can feel quite claustrophobic, right?
Maybe for some people, but I noticed that, you know, getting into the back of this car is almost like getting into the back of a CHR. The Toyota CHR.
You know, it's so this is essentially a more expensive CHR.
Well, true, but it's a BMW.
Yeah.
Almost double the price. But that's beside the point because you can't put the Japanese next to it. If you put the Japanese next to it, this car doesn't make sense at all. Mm-hmm. But now we are talking about a vehicle that has got a 2-liter engine, twin turbo. So it's got 192 brake horsepower, 280 newton meters, which is very close to what the X1 delivers.
Yep.
But it's a little bit faster from 0 to 100 at 7.7 seconds. But it has a 7-speed Steptronic gearbox at $328,000. Everything else is $200,000. Mm-hmm. So I immediately said to myself, the nearest new competitor, fully imported, because it's fully imported, is the Volvo XC40, which comes with all the bells and whistles. We test drove the XC40, we brought it, and I'm sure you've seen it also.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that car is $256,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the XC40 has got almost the same power output, same, you know, engine capacity, same kind of features, but a little bit more space.
Hang on, wait. So, I mean, I think the Volvo had more power, actually. I think it was like 250 or
something. Yeah, a little bit, you know, but it's all around there. Like,
yeah.
Around there. But, you know, the Volvo has a little bit more space. The Volvo actually sits a little bit higher.
Honestly, on paper, the Volvo is a more attractive package.
Exactly. And the Volvo has that two-tone color thing and all that. But again, you know, when I talk to people, you know, that Volvo branding has still not captured the hearts of Malaysian. You know, when they see BMW, they seem to be drawn more to it. You don't see many X2s on the road. you're starting to see a few more XC40s on the road.
Yeah.
So what happens now is, has BMW made a little bit, I mean, in Malaysia, has made a little bit of a judgment call that is not going the right way?
Looking at the spec sheets, I'd match this to what the X2S xDrive or whatever, 20i. So this is kind of like the almost the base model, isn't it?
Yes, it
so
is.
I was thinking, like, at this price, 328,000, 330,000, why didn't they bring the 28i, which probably has all the bells and whistles that the XC40 has and slightly more power?
But it's fully imported.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, when it's fully imported, you can't play with the price. And also, you see, for the local office, if I'm ordering just a few hundred units, I can't bargain with the mothership to give me a special price to attract the market.
Yeah.
Now, with Volvo, the XC40 is going to be their bread and butter. So they can tell the mothership, I'm going to order a lot of units. Malaysians are going to get crazy. So give me a better price. And then they pay tax is also calculated equivalently. And you get 252,000, you get a XC40 that makes a lot more sense than this car.
Yeah.
However, when you drive this car, it drives like any other BMW hot hatch. It doesn't drive like a crossover. It's firm. It goes around corners fast. In fact, coming from your BM3 series, I know your BM3 series is a bit older, but if you get this car, you'll feel very, very familiar.
That's the thing, because like from all the photos and for the market this car is supposed to be made for, it kind of captures
the younger generation,
the young millennial who wants something sporty.
Yes.
Probably wants a badge on it, a very expensive badge on it.
Right.
And something that excites you all the time.
Right. And a little bit of the lifestyle element, that's why you want to cross over.
So I guess this drives more like a hot hatch.
Yes. But unfortunately, it doesn't feel as fast as it says it is. Because you know why? The engine is not so responsive. Unless you put it in sports mode all the time. But in sports mode all the time, you're going to be sipping a lot of fuel. Actually, not sipping, you're just drinking fuel. You put it in Eco Pro, you sip fuel. It's very economical. But again, you drive a BMW and you start thinking about fuel economy. Listen, go and buy a Pro Novella. You know, you don't buy a BMW to save fuel in Malaysia. Because why? Fuel is subsidized.
Yep.
You know? And the car is 320,000. You got a bit of money, you know? So that's the BMW X2. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm saying go and test drive it. It might actually fit your need if you have the money.
So we've got the 7-point inspection coming up. I'm going to ask you first to highlight the important specs, engine, power, the segment it plays in, and the price.
Okay. Segment it plays in, we already mentioned.
Yep.
Price, we already mentioned. When it comes to safety features, you know, BMW never skimps on that. If you talk about in-car entertainment, everything is there.
So its competitors are basically the GLA,
the GLA XC40, 250,
250
4MATIC, and the XC40.
What about the Mini Countryman, though?
I wouldn't put the Mini there, even though it shares nearly everything with the Mini Countryman, because Mini is just iconic.
Yeah,
people buy it just because it's a Mini, nothing else.
So, bottom line, what's great about the car?
For me, because I'm very old school, even though this is front-wheel drive, I love the handling.
Oh, yes.
I know it's stiff, but you know that meaty handling, how the tail tucks in whenever you take it around a corner. You can predict how fast you want to go around a corner just by driving the car after a day. You know the kind of delivery it'll give. Handling, that's where it is.
Sounds like my future car.
Yes.
What don't you like about it?
Okay, I also have to come back to basics. The handling is great, but you know, with their run-flat tires in Klang Valley roads, it's just too bumpy, too skittish. I can see this car rattling like crazy in 3 years' time. Now it's new, it's all very nice and tight. But you know, with all the bumps and ruts and everything else, I mean, even most of the roads in PJs have been paved, but they're not paved properly.
Yep.
There's still gaps in them.
Still bumpy.
Yeah, it's still bumpy, you know, and those you know, manhole covers are sticking out or sticking in. So, no, that run flat tires, that ride handling cannot do that.
It's been a complaint everywhere, really.
Yes.
So, say you had a lot of money to spend, and the X2 sort of like came into that bracket.
Right.
Why would you buy an X2 over an X1?
If money is no object, which obviously has to be for someone who's going to spend 320,000 for this, you already probably have a 500,000 sedan in your garage, you probably have a 700,000 sports car in your garage, and you probably have a $350,000 luxury MPV. This is something that you'll want just to snazz up the garage, and it has to be in this color, gold.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to buy it in blue or black, you might as well just stay at home. Don't even go to the showroom.
Final question. If the car was priced reasonably, if it was, say, locally as assembled, would you consider this over the rest?
You see, it has to be not more than $268,000 to be worthy of contention. Because why? You got the GLA. I'm not saying the GLA is way better, but the GLA is priced there and it's got all the features that you know people want in a segment. Then you got the XC40, which has got way, way more features. You got those nice, beautiful, you know, R-design seats. You got those big wheels. You got the two-tone color. And you got that wonderful sound system. So how can you say that this car is any better, you know? So it has to be 268, 265, same features, same tech, then yes.
And that's it.
We brought you the test drive review of the new BMW X2. We had some news from Mr. Arif Roos. We are hoping that end-of-life cars will not come to Malaysia so that we can keep our old cars.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.